Good day, Cyclone Nation. Welcome to this week's Channel Seed podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. It is a little bit of a drizzly Wednesday here in central Iowa. It's good, though. It's good for those folks at Channel Seed because without the water, it's hard to grow that seed. Channel.com. I bring in Adam Gray. How did you like that introduction?
That was a beautiful introduction right there. I mean, I didn't even have anything to add to that.
But that's the good thing about the Channel Seedsman, because you know if it's drought conditions, if it's a little bit moist out there, I mean the Channel Seedsmen have seen it all, and they know what they're doing.
They can handle it.
They're the pros, so check them out today. See, that's the thing too, because we got a lot of guys listening to this. Maybe you're walking around campus right now. Maybe you got the headphones in during class. Who are future farmers of America? It's Iowa State. It's an ag school. It's what we do.
Is, yeah.
And, you know, I'd like to think they're going to need some seed someday.
And we're going to go to get that seed.
You're going to go to channel.com and find that Channel Seedsman near you. Adam Gray joins me today. For April 10th, there's quite a bit going on. I wanted to start with spring football. We're going to talk some football recruiting and basketball recruiting later on here in the program. So stay tuned for that. Hey, so after Saturday's scrimmage, posted a bunch of videos. I didn't even put any of my commentary in it because I was wanting to get just like the pure reaction from the newsmakers up there. And I noticed an abundance of negativity coming from the message board. It was almost as if people were a little bit irked. Irked is the right word, but I think the tone coming out of the practice wasn't great, but I would add it rarely is at this point in the spring. But there seems to be a heightened amount of concern coming from the diehard fanatics about the 2013 football season. Your opinion on this, Adam?
Well, first, my opinion is...
And this is from just the diehard fan opinion right here.
I mean, I've followed spring practice enough to know that you generally are going to get pretty negative talk from the coaches. They're still trying to motivate the players and mold them into what they want them to be.
Yeah.
I mean...
They're not going to call Sam Richardson Joe Montana right now.
No. And you know what? Last year, they weren't calling Steele Jantz and Jared Barnett Joe Montana either. And
they turned out to be very accurate in that assumption.
They were very accurate. No, I mean, every year, the same things. Our defensive line needs to get better. Offensive line needs to get better. And, I mean, literally, I bet you if you go back and look at our video from last year and compare it to the video from this year that you took on Saturday, I bet you there's no difference in what the coaches said.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. And I wrote about this. It was earlier this week about, like, Wally Burnham, for instance. Even when he had Knott and Klein, arguably the two best linebackers in school history, he still wasn't happy. I've never heard Wally be happy with
his demeanor
defense.
Is always the same.
Yeah.
And
here's the deal, though. Like, what are these – not these people. That sounds condescending. What – if you're freaking out, if you're one of those folks who are stressed about this, what did you expect?
Well, I think this is where fans are coming from. We lose a lot. Obviously, on defense.
Yes.
I think they are worried about that, and they go on there to watch these videos, hoping that they're going to hear, hey, this guy, Brandon Jensen, is just destroying on the defensive line. He's an animal. He's going to be all Big 12 player. I mean, he's going to be the stud. And they go in there, and they hear Wally Burnham be like, yeah, it wasn't a very good practice. We weren't doing what we needed to do. We got to get more physical, got to get more nasty.
But don't you, as a fan, wouldn't you rather the guys be honest with you than hyping some kid up that's probably not going to? And we're not talking about Brandon Jensen. That was just an example, but... You know, wouldn't you rather the coach be honest?
Then hype him up like we, and so all of a sudden the fan base is killing a Bo Williams or Cedric Johnson because they don't.
Here's a great example. The Cedric Johnson is a great example.
Yes.
Do you remember the basketball player Corey McIntosh?
You're going to go with what his JUCO coach told you?
Yeah, but it's legit. Yeah. Like, this JUCO guy, Dieter Horton, that was his name. He went to USC, too. I think he may have been on Floyd's staff at USC. And I'm not throwing him under the bus, but it's just an example of, I like to do this in our line of work every single day, under promise, over deliver. That's the best tip I've ever gotten in my entire life from a guy I greatly respect. And, you know, this JUCO coach is telling me that this Corey McIntosh kid, I mean, he may only be 150 pounds, but he's chiseled and he can score and he can do it all. And Corey McIntosh gets to town, and you're like, what in the hell was that guy talking about?
He's chiseled because he doesn't have any meat in his bones. But
so my point is, it does the coaching staff no good at this point to come out, and it does Paul Rhodes no good to be like, man, you know what? We got some real ballers on offense this year, and we're gonna average
50 a game.
Yeah, that, I mean, it does you no good at all.
We're coming at you, Oklahoma State.
Yeah, Mike who? Mike, he's a man.
He's 40.
What? Who? Clones top scoring offense in the country. No, they're not going to say that. And, it just doesn't make any sense. You undersell, you overdeliver. It's the smartest thing you can do, just like it didn't do Fred Hoiberg any good to start talking about Tavon Sledge being in the starting lineup a couple summers. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
I mean, Fred, just lower the expectations a little bit here,
and
buddy.
All season long, fans are wondering what's going on with Tavon Sledge.
And there really was nothing going on with Tavon. He wasn't a Big 12 player. And it sucked, I thought, for Tavon because there were threads popping up about him. Really, it shouldn't have been. It shouldn't have been. If you just don't make that comment in the offseason, you're in a much better situation when the season comes.
You know, and Fred was a young coach, though. I think he's probably, hopefully, learned his lesson. Maybe
yeah,
on that
one. I'm not throwing the guy under the bus. I'm just using it as an example
okay,
that we all can understand here.
Yeah.
So, my hope is that they're seeing with the offense, I do think that I have a hard time hyping newcomers.
Yeah.
It's hard to do when you've seen so many not live up to expectations.
So you're
going to
hype Wimberly right now, aren't you?
I feel like Wimberly is legit, though.
Everybody keeps talking about him.
Yeah.
I know. I got to, yeah.
And I mean, we asked even like players, though, like they're all kind of like quietly confident about this kid.
Which is great. We need a playmaker on offense in the worst way. And if he can be it, I mean, that just adds something to the offense we haven't had.
Yeah.
Your quote, by the way, and I guess it was more Paul Rhodes's quote that you put in the article, was back when he was first at Iowa State, they would say, whose assignment is that guy on defense? And it was Troy Davis's.
Yeah.
Troy Davis was responsible for making that guy miss. And we haven't had a guy like that at Iowa State. And, I mean, our running backs have been good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not killing our running backs. But we haven't had a guy that can be just a playmaker at that position that is going to make a guy miss and make a 5-yard gain turn into a 20-yard gain.
No.
And hopefully Wimberly's that guy.
Well, and like we touched on this last week, too, and I do not think it can be said enough. I don't think, when you look at the last few years of Iowa State football, I don't think it can go as the quarterbacks. It was the offensive line. It was the running backs. It was the wide receivers. I mean, it was a combination.
It was an offensive problem in general.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you'd like to think I'd like to think that the offensive line gets better.
Yeah, I said this last week too. I don't think it can get worse.
Yeah, so if it does improve, same with the wide receivers. I would like to think that they would get better. Now,
you've been saying that for years now.
Oh, I know. I constantly kill Iowa State's wide receivers, but at the same time, there's obviously more to do with it. There's a situation of it's a lot harder to take a ball 70 yards when you have to jump and the ball is coming in behind you.
I agree.
The quarterback's not putting. You know what I mean? Again, there's more to do with it, but I would like to think that these younger guys, like Quentin Bundridge, did you read those quotes from Courtney Messingham on
yes.
Quentin Bundridge?
That's
encouraging. That's
very encouraging.
To me, it's encouraging to see Iowa State zero in on a guy and say, that's our guy. He's going to be our guy.
And the
I
coach,
like that.
And the coach knows it, and he realizes he's got to get draw plays for him. That was very good to hear. And, we finally now, we have bigger receivers for quarterbacks to throw to.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not killing the guys we had a couple years ago, but we're walking out with 5'9", 5'10", 6 feet. Those are hard targets for a quarterback to throw to compared to when, Texas is throwing to 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", receivers.
Yeah, so you got, Ekpe apparently is having a good spring.
Dondre Daly.
Dondre Daly is a guy who I've been high on for months now. Of course, Bundridge, who I think we all... Even if he didn't drop outstanding statistics last year, I think we could all look at Bundridge and say that kid's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
When I look at a guy like Bundridge, he just kind of has that it. He's got the size. He's got the speed. If you talk to him, he knows what's going on. He's got it going on upstairs, too. I don't know. I just feel like this guy may be a little bit different.
I would agree. I mean, we saw it even in the Iowa game. I don't know if he even had a catch, but he made a couple of guys just completely miss and ran those deep routes that we just missed on some deep passes last year that we haven't seen in an Iowa State receiver in quite some time. There's a lot to be excited about with Brundridge. There really is.
Yeah, and we haven't talked about Jarvis West.
You're a bigger fan of him than I am.
Well, but I think Jarvis West in the right role is the key. I think when you have a Darius Reynolds on your team, I think Jarvis West can do a lot more than if Josh Lenz is your primary receiver. And I'm not taking a shot at Josh Lenz. I just think you have to have that threat on the outside for a guy like Jarvis West to be completely effective.
Well, and I shouldn't even kill Jarvis West, but I agree with what you're saying. He is a guy that we need, but we've never used him that way, at least consistently.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly why.
I mean, we've seen a couple little sweep plays with them, but few and far between. We haven't really been able to get the ball to him in space. I mean, he had a 3-touchdown game against Baylor, and those were on longer passes, which, let's be honest, I don't want to say those are more lucky plays, but Jarvis West is not going to be a guy we're going to be throwing the ball 20 to 40 yards down the field to, in my opinion. He's a guy you get the ball to in the short intermediate, and you have him make some guys miss.
Yeah, and like I said, and that's what the one thing that does excite me about this offense is a guy like Jarvis West. Now, I feel like there's more pieces around him that can make him effective. You don't want Jarvis West to be your primary receiver.
No.
You don't want that. But think about it, though. Like, when you combine West, Wimberly, Devondrick Neely, that's three pretty impressive playmakers you got there.
I would agree.
Who, you can move around and put in different spots.
But will they, Chris?
Will they? I don't know. You'd like to think that they're doing this pistol thing now. Messingham's his second year. He's going to get better as a play caller. He's going to get more creative. And it all comes down to you have to have the confidence in your offensive line to give you time to do these type of things.
Now, this is my thought on the pistol, too, by the way, since you just brought it up. Is the pistol going to be like where we heard about last year, where we heard, we're going to do a lot of two-back sets, and then we see it for maybe three or four plays, and then it just goes away? Or is this something it's going to be our focal point of our offense, and you're going to see us primarily out of the pistol?
I don't know about primarily, but I think it's going to be more than what you just described.
Okay. Now, I want fans – remember when we hired Tom Herman and everyone's like, oh, we're going to the spread offense. We're going to be unstoppable. We're going to score 40, 50 points a game. It doesn't matter if you're running a traditional offense, pro-style offense, spread, pistol. It doesn't matter if you don't have the players and you can't do it right. So, hopefully, if we are going to run the pistol, hopefully we do it and we can incorporate the talent we have and actually score more than 24 points a game.
That's the goal. And that's kind of my take on the spring, too, with everybody flipping out about the defense, and somewhat rightfully so. But to me, Wally's going to get that defense to play better than it probably should.
Yes.
And if you score 24 points a game, and that's even including non-conference games, too, so that's not league play, but you have to average more than that to win in the Big 12.
The offense is due. I mean, the defense has been carrying Iowa State for the 3 years that Paul Rhodes – 4 years, right?
Correct. He's been here for 4 years.
Wow, that was brain. They've been carrying the offense for 4 years. At some point, if the defense is losing a lot of guys and they're going to take a step back, we need the offense to take a step up. They're going to have to maybe win us some games this year.
Well, it's you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And I'm fine with that. I mean, catch up with the rest of the league. Play like they play. Fight fire with fire. If you need to win a shootout, win a shootout. Channel C Podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Remember, you can find us on iTunes now. Did you know that? We got that all worked out.
I did know that. That's awesome.
So go to iTunes, the store, and just type in Cyclone Fanatic. We're working on getting it to look nice and pretty, but we're getting there. That's a pain in the butt, by the way.
Is it? See, I'm not a technical person.
Working with iTunes, it's like working with the University of Iowa's media relations, apparently.
I hear they're just pleasant to work
I've never done it, just what my friends tell me. I've never worked with them. But, good people, though.
I'm sure.
Nice people. Nice people. Actually, I have worked with them. Every time I've gone to Iowa City, it's nice.
Is it?
I actually really enjoy it.
Well, you are a closet Hawk fan.
Tavern Hawk? Tavern Hawk. That's the name. Yeah. No, it seems fine. I just, I listen to, Murph and Andy, and they're always talking about the... not getting access and all that stuff, and it's funny. And I don't want to get you off on the University of Iowa.
I'm just hoping you'll change subjects now.
Yeah, because I could see you just brimming over there. Hey, we're having a golf tournament, right?
We are, May 17th.
All right, now, I'm going to just play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
And let you pimp this thing.
All right.
Like, there are a million golf tournaments. Why play in the Cyclone Fanatic one?
Oh, for many reasons. First off, how many times can you play in a golf tournament and be looking at beautiful Jack Trice Stadium as you're playing a golf tournament?
Only
at Coldwater Golf Links. So that right there, it's got the Cyclone feel. And you know what? What's better than playing golf with a bunch of Cyclone fans?
Can we get name tags like to put usernames on?
I think we should be able to. I mean, I know there's going to be a lot of people that maybe don't have usernames, but the ones that do, I think we absolutely need to.
All right.
Chris M. Williams coming at you right there.
I'm a big fan of these golf tournaments. They're fun. You get to meet a lot of people. Well, it's May 17th at Coldwater.
We are going to have fantastic prizes. I'm not saying that. Fantastic prizes. I mean,
we need to get these out there so these people can understand this.
We got Wilson Toyota on hole 16. You make a hole in one, you get 2013 Toyota Camry.
Nice. I mean,
we're going to bring the Toyota Camry. We're going to set it up. It's going to be like an official golf tournament.
I'm due for a hole in one.
If you come and play in our golf tournament, you get a free ticket to the 2013 Principal Charity Classic played at Wakanda in Des Moines.
You get a free ticket to watch the Principal Charity Classic.
Yes.
That's not bad.
That's just a couple things. I'm not even throwing in the other prizes that we're going to be having. I mean,
with the golf guy.
The Budget Golf?
Yeah, we got a partner, right?
Yeah, budgetgolf.com. He's printing off some coupons he sent our way, as well as some other golf prizes.
Nice.
I mean, you come join it. You'll leave happy.
I'm working on getting some Iowa State stuff.
There'll be maybe a couple alcoholic drinks there. I can't, you know.
We're working on my guy. I'm going to put some pressure on him. He's probably listening to the podcast. My guy, Steve Breeman.
Great guy.
Going to try and get a couple kegs of
delicious beer.
Yeah. So we'll work on that. But May 7th, you guys sign up by when?
May 1st.
May 1st.
So get going.
And they're starting to sign up too. So now you need to. You don't want to get left out of this. And to be honest, can I just be brutally honest with everybody too? I get asked all the time, how can we donate to Cyclone Fanatics since it's free? This is basically like giving us a donation too.
It is.
The money that we make from this is going towards, so we can pay guys like Brent Bloom to write on our website. So we can pay our server costs. So we can pay the tech costs. You know, that it's not like you and I are just going to go on an extravagant vacation after this. Not going to happen at all. So, again, I mean, it's a good way to support our company. We don't ask you for a dime. So now this is a good way to do it and go out and play some golf and win some great prizes.
Have a lot of fun with a lot of
Cyclones. At the same time, May 17th. Well, and keep an eye out, too. If you've missed that, we haven't done a great job of promoting it yet, but we will be really hitting that hard here over the next couple of days. All right, where are we headed to next here on the Channel Seed Podcast? Let's talk a little recruiting.
Okay.
Basketball and football. Now, Adam, you can't talk about specifics because you're a season ticket holder and whatnot, so we're not going to mention names.
I can do that.
Yeah, we don't want to break any rules or anything like that here on the Channel Seed Podcast.
What a stupid rule, by the way.
Well, no, it's not stupid. I completely understand that rule.
I'm not coming and sitting here and saying, Marcus Fizer, come sign with Iowa State. I'm just talking about...
I know.
Okay.
Hey, we don't make the rules. We just abide by
them. I won't break them.
And honestly, like, I don't know how... I mean, I have a hard time believing anything would happen if you would... But we abide by the rules.
Yeah, we do.
The Iowa State Compliance Department's great, by the way, too. I'm a big fan of them. They're awesome to work with. I thought I would put that out there. Let's talk basketball recruiting. Did you read the transfer column I wrote on Hoiberg last night?
I did.
What did you think of that? Give me your impressions. If you didn't read it, the whole point is this. You know, when Fred started this transfer deal, it was fairly easy to get them because he's going after guys like Royce and, you know, and the Chris Allens of the world who in Royce had the issues with the law. But these other guys just had this stigma around them that something was wrong with them.
Sure.
And they didn't have much competition. Well, now a lot of these schools, and Fred didn't, he wasn't the only person to start doing this, but he had a lot to do with it. People have seen that you can win by doing this. So now a guy comes open like an Alex Oriaki last year, or the kid from Tulane this year.
Well,
and my point is now everybody and their dog wants in on this because you add a guy like that, you can make a good team great when you're sitting here in April. And a lot. My point is, I think a lot of Hoiberg's success with these transfers is hurting Iowa State now from the standpoint of there's probably a lot of guys out there they'd like to jump on, but they don't have a chance at it because it's all about connections and whatnot. And if you don't have a connection to these players, it's very tough to get them at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know as far as if it's hurting Iowa State or not. I can't.
I don't know if it's hurting them. I just think it's harder to go that route now than it used to, because instead of having five teams going after a guy, there's 50.
50. And, I mean, you look at the guy that just won the most valuable player in the Final Four, Hancock, transfer from George Mason.
Yep.
Did you hear the two schools where they recruited him out of George Mason when he said he's transferring? Michigan and Louisville.
That's
who he's
incredible.
Down to the top two. And so he was the MVP as a transfer. You know, you heard when Hoiberg got here and he went out and got all these transfers and everyone was calling us transfer you and saying, I was like, it was a negative. And now you look at it and a team that just won the national championship, they won it with a transfer.
Jeff Withey's a transfer.
You look at Duke, Seth Curry.
Yep,
transfer
Seth
from
Curry's
Liberty.
Yep.
So it's starting to happen more and more. I don't know if Fred was the guy. I mean, he was maybe one that went to the extreme the fastest. So maybe he did help kind of escalate this a little bit, but it's proven to work. And I think that's why the results are showing that teams can win with it, and that's why teams are doing it.
And I don't think that you'll never, in my opinion, see a program get as many transfers in that short of time again like you did with Iowa State.
Unless it's a circumstance very similar to Iowa State.
But I disagree, though, because I think now there's so many more teams that are looking to take these transfers. The thought that all those guys are going to go to one spot again is – very hard for me to believe.
There's a ton of transfers out there anymore, though.
But there's so much competition, though.
There is.
I mean, if you look at the Iowa State transfers, too, I mean, they were coming from big-time programs.
They were. Yeah, they were.
I mean, it's not like you're getting these guys from Liberty, you know, just as an example. I mean, these are big-time programs.
Big Ten schools.
Yeah. It's fascinating how much college basketball has changed in 5 years.
It is. Yeah. I mean, five...
And the transfer thing is screwed up to begin with, but that's a whole other podcast for a whole other day. Just from the standpoint of, you know, these coaches could just leave on a whim, but a kid's got to sit out if he wants to leave. I mean, it's just backwards. Everything about it is.
I disagree with you, but you, I mean, and
we could talk for 2 hours and debate that.
The only reason I say that I'll disagree with you is just because you know how shady college basketball can be. You know, a guy can be recruited. I mean. Who's to stop one coach from recruiting a player while he's there? If he doesn't get caught and the kid leaves Northwestern and goes and plays at Illinois, I'm just throwing two schools out. I don't know anything. But they go from that school to that, and they play the very next year. I think there's
a
reason.
Well, what if a kid commits to a school because he has a good relationship with a coach, and then he signs and that coach leaves and just completely terminates that contract, but then the kid's stuck there?
No, I would be more if the NCAA went a little softer on – you know, letting people transfer, I would be completely for that. But I always think there's certain circumstances that a player should have to sit out a year.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying across the board.
Okay.
Because then it would turn into free agency.
Exactly.
I get that. Yeah. But that's basically what the coaching world is right now. So if Iowa State could get a transfer this year.
Yes.
What is your position of need?
I'm going against the grain here. Everyone wants us to have a big. They want a big so bad. But I look at it, we have George Niang coming back.
Yeah.
I know it's George. I'll just call him George's. We got Edgem coming back for his senior year. And we have Gibson, and then we have the two JUCO guys coming in. We don't have a point guard next year.
I'm with you.
Unless,
that's not against the grain. Any rational fan, I think, would say that.
I mean, if we're signing a four-year player, then yeah, give me a big guy for sure. But if we're signing a guy that can come in and play 1 year next year, and it's the next year, give me a point guard.
Jake Anderson would be perfect.
I would actually lean more towards a point guard than a Jake Anderson.
But he could play I'm thinking more realistic.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a really salty one-year point guard. Chances of that happening are very slim.
It is very slim. You're asking
a guy like Jake
would I like?
Well, yeah. But I want you to think realistic here. You know, yeah. I would like a Ferrari.
Are we going to get a 6'10", 250-pound slam dunk blocking Calvin Cato to come in for 1 year as well? I don't see that happening.
Maybe get a, you know, Jeff Withey was a transfer.
A one-year transfer?
Oh, well, he wasn't a one-year,
yeah,
obviously.
That can play right away. I mean, those guys are a dime a dozen that can come in and they can, or I should say, they're not a dime a dozen.
No,
is what I mean.
No, I got you.
That they can come in and they can play right away for 1 year and they can fill a gap and a need that a lot of teams have. And right now, next year, Iowa State's need is a veteran point guard.
I would agree with that. Sorry, I'm yawning. I would agree with that 110%. On the point guard. A little football. What was I? I got to turn my page on my notebook here. I had a good football recruiting conversation for us to have. We were going to talk about, you had an interesting quote. before we...
This is off the record.
Well, we're now making it on the record. We're talking about football recruiting, and basically we were discussing what we were going to talk about on the podcast, and Adam goes, well, we should talk about guys who are coming in the summer who can make an impact next fall, which is it's an all right topic, but my thing is like Rodney Coe, and that's probably it.
You pretty much brushed me off on that topic.
Well, because there's not a whole lot to talk about.
I do agree with you.
Freshmen don't play at Iowa State very often unless they're here in the spring. And in Adam, direct quote, that's because Iowa State isn't recruiting very well.
Yes.
Okay, now, Fanatics, before you kill the guy, hear him out.
They're
Adam?
They're going to go
You've never seen these guys on the field. How do you know they're not recruiting well?
You know what? I follow recruiting enough to know that there's something to be said about kids that have other BCS offers. You know, people get all hung up on stars. I don't get hung up on stars. I get hung up on do other schools want them? Yeah. Other Big Ten, other Big 12 schools want them. And a lot of our guys don't. Now, does that mean they're not ball players? Absolutely not. Does that mean they can't contribute and be, you know, maybe all Big 12 down the road? No, I'm not saying that. But we don't. Iowa State does not kick kids that come in and play as freshmen. We just don't, because we're not recruiting that type of an athlete at this time.
Okay.
So I wasn't being negative much as saying we don't recruit the five stars, except for maybe someone that we might have coming in later on. We don't recruit five stars that just come in and play from day one.
But those kids aren't going to commit to Iowa State.
That was what I was saying.
The only way you're going to get a player like that is if it's a situation like an Alan Lazard. And I'm talking present day.
Yep.
Sure, I'd like to think in 10 years that's different, but that's 10 years down the road.
I agree with
you. The only
100%.
Way you're going to get that is if it's a situation like Alan Lazard where you had that connection and he wants to be a Cyclone.
I'm not being negative on it. I'm just saying we don't recruit well enough to where we're getting that kind of kid to come in here.
Notice,
I wasn't killing the guys that we have coming in.
Notice this trend, though.
Okay.
Because I've noticed it over the last couple of years, where in the beginning portion of the class, you're getting the kids that you're talking about.
Yes.
I mean, Iowa State has basically filled out its first 15. Not a lot of BCS offers in there. But they're filling it out before, let's say, October 1st. Back in the McCartney years, I mean, they're 10 guys on National Signing Day we've never even heard of who are signing with the Cyclones.
It was exciting.
So what they're doing is they're getting the base of these classes with these guys they know they can get and guys who they think, there's no such thing as no, but they think they can develop because they realize where they're at.
And I completely understand and agree with how they do it. At Iowa State, you need to build depth.
Correct. And then from there, once you have that base of that class, then you start swinging.
For the fences.
Correct.
Yes. I wasn't killing it and saying, like, our recruiting stinks. I don't like what the coaches are doing. I think our recruiting has gotten better every year since Rhodes and the staff have been here.
I agree. Yeah.
I'm not saying that at all. I was just basically saying there's not a guy that's coming in here as a freshman and playing from day one because we don't recruit well enough like the Floridas and the Alabamas and those schools of the world do, where they do have freshmen that come in and start at these skill positions because they're recruiting the elite of the elite. So,
no, I get it. I think we all know what you're saying.
Yeah, so don't. Cyclone fans, just calm down. Don't send me these angry emails. Don't tweet me. Don't get after me here.
I think that it's just I've gotten into it with people before. Not gotten into it, but
a little shoving match.
Well, like the thing is, it's like Nick Fairley and Ndamukong Suh, and they're never going to come to Iowa State. They're not.
If you get them, they are going to have to be a sleeper of all sleepers. But, yeah, you're not getting...
But you're not going to get Ndamukong Suh when he's five-star.
I completely agree
with
you.
Because recruiting, I mean, that type of a talent at, like, defensive tackle, I mean, I'm trying to compare it to basketball, and I can't. Like, there's just not many of those guys. There's maybe, what, five a year?
I agree. I love
our staff. They're going to Bama. They're... Period.
So don't waste your time. Don't waste your... money.
Well, yeah, and my thing is, it's hard for some fans to get it, and I get fans who, and I guarantee I'll get emails because of this, who be like, well, you just don't have any faith in Iowa State. It's not that I don't have any faith in Iowa State. It's that I'm being realistic.
You've been working in Iowa State or following Iowa State for how many years now? How many Ndamukong Suhs have we gotten?
None.
Zero. How many five-star quarterbacks? How many... five-star anything have we got? I don't think we've gotten one five-star at Iowa State ever.
And hopefully that will change. And I think it probably could at some point. But again, I mean, it has to be the right situation. It's not there are not many five-star guys to go around. And when you factor in national title contenders who have a history of sending team players to the NFL, Iowa State didn't have that yet.
I agree.
You have to build that up. You got to go better than 6-6 before those kids are going to start consistently coming to your program. You just have to. It's a harsh reality, but I think it's a fair reality. I don't think this is like offensive to anyone. I think you could all be like, yeah, may not like what he's saying, but I understand what he's saying.
That's all I ask.
Yeah.
That people understand what I'm saying.
I think they get it.
Okay.
And we all hope that changes.
That'd be great. That'd be great. And, you know, there's, like you said, there's not many five stars. Where is there, 20, 25 in
a
given season?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not, I mean, it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Basketball's different, too. We're talking about football.
Basketball's different.
I think it's a whole different animal. And the connection obviously helps, but basketball's different. Because I think you could see, you know, a potential five-star who'd be like, wow, that Hoiberg guy.
I love his offense. I love the way he spreads it out.
I've written a bunch of times. It'd be great, for a one-and-done to play for Hoiberg. I wrote the column after the Oklahoma game down in Kansas City. What he did with Clyburn the last 10 minutes of that game. Just isolated him. Went straight NBA with Will Clyburn the whole time. Why would a kid not want to come do that?
I have no idea.
I mean, if you want to, here's the thing, because you can pad your stats at Iowa State more than you can at Kansas or Duke.
Well, he definitely gives a player freedom more than a Bill Self does. And, I mean, we're not killing Bill Self. I think me and you are the two biggest Bill Self fans in the world.
I love Bill Self.
But Bill Self, if you put McLemore on Fred Hoiberg's team, I bet you he scores 5 to 10 points more a game. I really do.
Yeah, probably. I don't think you're crazy there. Channel C podcast, CycloneFanatic.com, of course. Braves are, what, 7-1?
Well, on their way to 140 wins this year, Chris.
We're both Braves fans, full disclosure.
And you know what? They're not even really hitting that well right now. They're still, I mean, they're getting 3 runs
a
game.
They're just that much better than everybody else.
It's not even close. They probably could call a season right now.
They really should. Masters this weekend. Tiger got it.
Oh, absolutely.
I think he's probably going to win it.
I hope he wins it by 15 strokes.
So if Tiger doesn't win, who beats him? Rory? I'd like to see a final pairing Tiger-Rory on Sunday.
It'd be awesome.
It'd be incredible.
We haven't had that in golf in how long? I mean, I love golf.
Because it's always some just random guy who pops up and...
Yeah.
Like a Charles Schwartzel a few years ago, which Charles playing some good golf now.
Charles a phenomenal golfer. If it was Charles and Tiger, that'd be great.
But when he won it, we didn't know who he was.
No, we didn't know who he was. You know, and Louis Oosthuizen. We didn't know who Louis Oosthuizen was, and now he's a big name too. I think Rory's got a really good chance. He's playing really good golf right now. He finished second last week. I picked him.
I had Furyk.
Furyk cupping out on hole 18.
Furyk's my guy.
Yeah.
Actually, is there a more boring professional athlete than Jim Furyk?
I don't know. He does 5-Hour Energy commercials. He's got to be somewhat cool.
It makes no sense.
How does 5-Hour Energy say, you know what, we got to find a really exciting athlete to market our wonderful energy drink? Who should we get that's really exciting?
Jim Furyk. Bleeping Furyk. What else has we got going on? You got the new pick up the new Eric Church live album yet?
No, you told me to. I haven't done it
phenomenal.
Yet.
Phenomenal. And he, in my opinion, is, I mean, he's like the second coming of George Strait.
Still not George Strait yet to you?
No, I mean, because he's the king. He's got 60 number one hits, for God's sake.
Okay.
I mean, you can't, there is no comparison.
Now, George Strait, Garth Brooks, here you go. You still go George Strait, don't you?
Yeah. I like Garth. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not, there's some Garth haters out there. I'm not one of them. I like Garth. The hits, man.
Oh.
You just want, I mean, if you want to just sit back and go back to a better place, crack open a cold Busch Light, sit out on your, how about this? Make a campfire. That's the best. If you make a campfire, just sit back and listen to the hits. And you can close your eyes if you want. That will take you back to a better place in time.
I completely agree with you.
The hits, man.
It was the greatest.
That might be the best compilation of songs ever.
I don't even think there's any argument. I can't think of anyone that would even come close.
Because I'm thinking, too, of like George Strait's 50 number one hits album, which was awesome. But a lot of the George songs I like weren't even number ones. Like the hits, I mean, it's just one after another.
You're a country snob, though. You are.
That's what I've been told.
I mean, I'm listening to like an Eric Church song. I'm like, this is my favorite Eric Church song. And you're like, well, that's just because it's the one that's played on the radio the most. That's not even the best one. I mean,
it's the truth.
You just like the commercialized Eric Church. You don't
it's
like the
truth. I mean, if you don't like the truth, then don't ask for my opinion.
For a guy that drinks and likes Busch Light to be a country snob like you are.
I'm not a country snob.
You are a country snob.
If I was a country snob, I would like the crap that's out there on the radio right now. how is the fact that I like the unappreciated music make me a snob?
It's because you think that you are the one that sits and says, that's not a good wine. This is a good wine. Here, have a little Pinot or something.
I don't drink wine.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though. You are that guy when it comes to country music. Oh, that song sucks. This song is way better. You got to listen to this right here. You know what? And this is coming from a guy that likes Taylor Swift.
No, back up. Back the truck up. I liked Taylor Swift.
Oh, we've changed it.
Her new, man, that new album is trash.
I haven't listened to
it. I mean, it's just absolute, utter garbage.
I'm not a 16-year-old girl. I haven't listened to it yet.
I here's the deal. I never once in my life sat around listening to Taylor Swift, but I always appreciated her for what she was.
Okay.
A very talented young lady who writes her own music, who can play an array of instruments, and has a decent voice. Not a great voice. A decent voice. I mean, when it comes to straight talent, and marketing and all everything it takes, she's got it all and then some. But this new, she is a disgrace to country music right now, in my opinion.
Has she been country music for the last 5 years?
No. Well, yeah. I mean, I think you could have made an argument 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
You could have made an argument then, but now, I mean, she's a straight crossover pop artist, in my opinion.
And nothing is more awful for you than someone that leaves country music.
Here's the deal. And it's not even that. It's just more like I don't mind the crossover stuff because there's more money. Like, if you want to do some of that, fine. It's just don't bring that crap onto countries like award shows. You know what I mean? Like, when they bring, like, rappers on and...
Whose fault is that, though? Isn't that the country, the people that are putting these people out there on the shows?
No, you know whose fault it is?
Whose?
It's the 20-year-olds out there buying this crap. That's whose fault it is.
See what I'm talking about, Fanatics? He is a country snob.
If they keep buying it, then they're keeping it. But my point is like, let's just say like the hip-hop awards or whatever.
Yeah.
Is George Strait on there wasting their time? No. Do I want to see rappers and rockers on the CMAs? No. I want to watch country artists.
Who is the one that is booking these people to come play on the CMAs?
Well, it's because it's the... You know what it is? It's a stupid country artist who want to be the crossover people.
It's
Brad Paisley for doing songs with LL Cool J.
They see a chance to make a little extra cash and break into
the Brad Paisley album. Here's how much I love Brad Paisley. I named my dog after him. I've read his biography. Brad Paisley 10 years ago was about as good as you can get. All right. His last, I'll say, 3 albums are utter garbage. Garbage, Adam.
I want you.
His newest one came out yesterday, and I bought it because I told my wife, there's 4 artists, I'll buy anything that they make. Sheer loyalty. I'll buy anything George Strait makes, buy anything Eric Church makes, I'll buy anything Dierks Bentley makes, and I'll buy anything that Brad Paisley makes. Paisley's off the list.
Wow.
He's off the list.
Fanatics, you should see the disgust on Williams' face right now.
Utter garbage.
It is.
Is this album?
I've never seen a face like this that he is making. He really is disgusted.
It is a disgrace to country music, much like the crap Taylor Swift's been putting out there.
I've told you for years that you got to get on the Carrie Underwood bandwagon. She's better looking. She's got a better voice.
Well, I agree with both of those. Okay. I've never disagreed with either one of those.
We'll stay.
Now, my whole point on Taylor Swift is that if I'm gonna like drool over a celebrity, you know what? I have no shot at Carrie Underwood ever in my life. And I say this as if my wife was sitting in the room too. I feel like if Taylor Swift, like if I was in college and she was at Central Campus, I could at least approach her and put together a coherent sentence.
Well, sure, because she's like a 4 or 5 on the looks.
That's ridiculous. and you know damn well that's ridiculous. You get my point.
I do get your point.
Carrie Underwood is gorgeous.
Oh, she's phenomenal. My wife loves Carrie Underwood.
You went to her concert.
Yeah.
Bad concert.
Terrible.
That's a waste of money. She's not a good person to go see in concert.
No, because it's all slow songs. I mean, don't get me wrong. She's got a phenomenal voice, but I'm not going to go see Celine Dion next time I go to Vegas either. I mean, I'm just...
No.
I'm not going to.
My wife was drilling me about going to an Underwood concert and
you put the kibosh on that?
Well, I mean, my thing is, I go, that's fine, but take like your sister or something.
Yeah.
I'm not going to enjoy that, and I'm just going to make snarky remarks about how this isn't country music the whole time, and it's just going to make her mad.
You do that and anytime I'm listening to country music.
She goes, well, you always drag me to Eric Church concerts, and because we're going to Kenny Chesney here in a couple weeks in Des Moines. And I go, and you have fun, too, because they're good concerts. I support people who are good live. You know, there's certain artists that carry over and are pretty good live. There's certain artists that aren't. Carrie Underwood's a better studio performer than she is live, I would imagine.
Didn't you tell me that your favorite concert you've ever been to is Rascal Flatts? Did I hear that from you?
Shut up. Just shut up.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, guys, it's so easy to tweak Williams when it comes to country music. He is very passionate about country music. He knows country music. We once drove from Minneapolis to Des Moines after a Vikings game listening to country music, and every single song that came on, he told me what the name of the song was and who sang it, without fail. The wives were in the back sleeping, and he was up.
It was an impressive streak.
It was. I mean, it had to have been 40 songs.
Once did this with Bloom and Carper. Adam Carper, former linebacker, not Josh Carper. The people get confused with those two. You've been to Outlaws of Names, right? The country bar?
Absolutely.
I think we sat there for 3-4 hours one night and did that, played that game. I love that game.
I think you play it by yourself and other people just kind of listen as they're drinking. That's generally what happens.
I'm so passionate about it. I love it, man. I know you really do. Like, it's not a show. I mean, this is straight from the heart. Like,
it's coming through on the podcast. There's a couple of things you're passionate about. Iowa State. Your dog, country music, and The Bachelor, Bachelorette.
Yeah, I love The Bachelor, man.
I don't get it.
Great show.
But you're passionate about it.
It's a phenomenal show. I think it's The Bachelorette starts back up here before too long, I reckon. Yeah.
Yeah, I won't watch it. Hey, question for you.
Okay.
My Lakers going to make the playoffs?
I don't know.
What do you mean? You don't pay attention?
Hey, I don't know.
Okay. All right.
There's too much talent. I find it hard to believe that a team with that much talent doesn't make the playoffs.
You would think so, but they're only up, what, half a game or 4 games to go?
Hey, is Joaquin Noah out for the season? I thought I saw that on SportsCenter last night. I need to Google that real quick.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because that would suck.
Well, they're not doing anything this year anyway. I mean, Rose isn't playing, so you might as well. I mean, who cares? That East division is garbage, by the way. If we're talking about garbage, the Eastern Conference and the NBA, I mean, you got the Miami Heat, which are, they're fantastic. But, I mean, when the New York Knicks are the second best team, terrible.
I don't know how you could make that ridiculous comment you just made about the Bulls. That's insane.
Who are the Bulls going to be in the playoffs? Or even if they win one, they're not going anywhere without
D-Rose, Rose. Baby. He's going to come back and lead them to the promised land.
Yeah, okay. No, not going to. I mean, he hasn't
played
all
year. Did you watch
him
beat the Heat? Couple weeks ago?
Yeah, it was a great game. They played really well to do it. They're not doing it in a 7-game series.
I agree. They would not be able to beat the Heat in a 7-game series, but just completely write them off. I mean, that's pretty ignorant, in my opinion.
I'm a Lakers fan. You think I will tell you right now, does the Lakers play the Thunder in the playoffs, they are not winning that series.
It does not look like he's out for the season. Now, okay. So that was a misleading headline on ESPN last night, but that's okay. I'd rather it be misleading than true.
Talk about a player who's had a way better NBA career than I ever thought he would.
Noah?
Yeah, because a guy just gets down and does the dirty work. He just...
Got to have a guy like that.
Absolutely.
Got to have a guy like that.
Iowa State's got one of Melvin Edge, and we could use a couple more.
Yeah. I'm hoping that these Indian Hills guys, you can talk about them because they're signed.
They're signed, okay.
But I'm hoping that that they can do some of that.
Yeah. That's what you need. I mean, especially Iowa State, when those JUCO guys come in... and whether they're starting or coming off the bench, we need them to play defense and rebound. I mean, if they score, that's an added bonus, but we just need someone to help us get stops and get rebounds.
I would agree. All right, we're at 45 minutes. Time to pull the plug.
I'm sure people loved where we went there with the country music. I bet
if you did stick around, thank you. And we hope you were... Are you not entertained?
If you're still around... As soon as this podcast ends, I want you to jump online. I want you to print off the registration form, get a foursome together, and send it in to me so you can come to the Cyclone Fanatic golf outing on May 17th. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's a good idea. I'm looking forward to that. Team Cyclone Fanatic, you're playing for second place, just so you know.
Am I on your team?
I don't know. Are we? I don't know.
Tron wants to be on our team. But my back is going to hurt after that round. I know that.
Well, I think we should have Bloom play with us.
Yeah, it would be the four of us, maybe.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Bloom and me are pretty good. You and Tron are a little bit.
I've never played with Tron. I just imagine a lot of balls being hit very far.
Shot a 44 at Grandview the other day.
Did you? Nice.
Front nine.
Did you tee off from the ladies' tees again? Or
no,
what?
I was from the whites.
That's good.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good course to play to get your confidence up early in the year,
dude,
too.
Dude, you know what? You want to get your confidence up?
Yeah.
Go back home with me to Southwest Iowa, and we'll do a little tour back there.
I've still...
And they're nice courses.
Yeah.
But, like, compared to up here, I mean, every shot is manageable.
Because it's just out in the open.
Yeah, I mean, you play multiple fairways. I mean...
That's my kind of golf right there.
Yeah, every course is like... And that's why I think that, like, I started to really stink at golf, because... I had played those courses my whole life, and then I started playing this stuff up here. I mean, it's so much harder.
A lot tighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Longer, and I'm not a long player. So, like, you get me on the back nine at Coldwater is hell for me. It's a long nine.
It is a long nine, yeah. It
does not bode well.
Especially when the wind is howling, which on Saturday when I played there, it was about 20-mile-an-hour winds.
And you're playing, like, straight links golf on
Saturday.
It really
was. It was I mean, there was times where I had to back away from putts because I felt like it was going to blow over.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to Channel Seed, channel.com. Give them a look today. We'll be back next week. A lot coming up as far as football coverage. Maddie Van Winkle will be there tomorrow night after practice. I'm going to take tomorrow night off, but we have a full... schedule of scrimmage coverage coming up on Saturday. Matt and I will both be there. I think it was just me. I had like 5 content items from last Saturday. Matt and I combined will probably be up near 10. So check it out. Saturday night, we're going to have it loaded, locked and loaded for you. Link it all over your Twitter and Facebook, and send folks our way if you can. We'd really appreciate it. Thanks for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
Go Cyclones.